Okay, so we start page 534, 534, last line. Who art thou who claimest thy crown of separate birth? So Savitri is blissful in her soul state. When we discover the soul, life grows beautiful. But there is something more than that. Savitri is born for solving the cosmic riddle. She has come with a great work, not just her individual freedom, her Jivan Mukta Avastha. So she has more to do. So there is a greater challenge thrown at her. All who come for doing the divine work, especially, they are given this special challenge. We see that in the life of all the great ones. Even after they have realized, they are given the great challenge of life as representatives. So, same with Savitri, this voice of night, what does it do? It makes one feel everything is doubtful, everything is unreal. Idea of God, soul, even though one has had the experience, because all these experiences are taking place within, in the consciousness. But the outer reality, material reality, is in the grip of this fellow. It is like someone who has released all the funds for a new construction, and the funds have come from the top level right up to the execution level. But the executive person, he says, no, this is in my jurisdiction, I will not apply it. So what do you do? Those who are seeing, they feel funds have not been released by the prime minister or the president. So this is the strategy of death. That's why mother says ultimately victory has to be on matter. So matter is his field. He says, I will not allow. So what happens? Human beings, when they see material life, it is not changing, death, disease is still there, they get into the changul, the grip of death, the voice of night. That see, everything is unreal, all your beautiful experiences you can keep to yourself. But see, nothing is changing here. So it makes one feel unreal. And then what it says, as we know, these are thoughts. In their own way they come when we are in a dark state. Who art thou who claims thy crown of separate birth? Who are you? Who am I? Now, who am I can be a great question. But who am I means I am nothing. I am a useless fellow. I am on the bubble on the ocean. All this is illusion. So this is what death wants. Because if we think all this is illusion, we get disheartened, we get disinterested, and we eventually run away, either to Himalaya or some heights or into alcohol, whatever way. But the divine wants to use the individuality to manifest himself here. Individual is important, but the true individual, not the ego individuality. So death says, the voice of night, who art thou who claimest thy crown of separate birth, the illusion of thy soul's reality? He says, there is no soul. You have found it. It's an inner experience. Who knows? It's a hallucination. There is no soul's reality. That's how he is trying to convince. And personal Godhead in an ignorant globe, in the animal body of imperfect man, he said, look at yourself, you are a little animal. See your nature. You say there is God within. What God will dwell inside this nature? There is nothing like personal God. So when these things come to us, if at all, we should throw them away. We have very fortunately Bay of Bengal here. We can throw them all. Because these are dark thoughts. It starts like that and slowly it captures the mind. Hope not to be happy in a world of pain. Don't hope. Supramental transformation. One day life will be blissful. All this is lotus dream. It is not real. So he tries to make maximum confusion. to make us lose faith, lose hope, discourage us. That what are you talking? Life will be blissful? This is what life is. Hope not to be happy in a world of pain, and dream not, listening to the unspoken word and dazzled by the inexpressible ray, transcending the mute superconscious realm to give a body to the unknowable. He says, I know you have these thoughts that life can change, transformation will take place. But did God speak to you? Unspoken word. He has inspired, but has he? Unspoken word. And this vision has dazzled you that one day life will become very beautiful. So you are dazzled, excited by this wonderful possibility. But super conscient, even if there is, it is shut in his own heaven. Even some gurus, sages will say like this, sannyasis, God is there, but in his heaven, what has he got to do with earth, with man? Nothing. It is like a little drop, not even a drop. This is a very important distinction in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, that God expresses in these three levels, transcendent, universal, and the individual. There are paths of yoga which completely deny the individual reality. But in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, the individual, that is why the psychic being that speak of, psychic being is the true individual in us, the child of the mother. But it tries to deny it. Or for a sanction to thy heart's delight, to burden with bliss the silent, still supreme, profaning its bare and formless sanctity. So he is trying to tell Savitri, I know you want to be happy. So you say that divine has sanctioned this world and one day he will make it divine. It is nothing, but your heart wants to be happy, so it is believing in it. See how cunning this fellow is. And so many even philosophers, even so-called yogis, by the illusionist, they talk like that. So profaning. So he says, ki, you really think God, even if he is there, he is in some sacred place, he will come into your everyday life? No, no, no. That will make him commonplace. Let him be in his high heaven. But he cannot be here. Or call into thy chamber the divine and sit with God, tasting a human joy. You really believe, it is telling Savitri, that God is in your heart and you can be with the divine and in human life together, tasting a human joy. They are not possible. You have to renounce the world. Then yes, whatever you do is your business. But human life, see how mother challenged this whole concept. We have cinema, we have playground, she has played tennis. Dining room, everywhere she brought the presence of God in everything. Music, games, embroidery, painting, every field, studies, education, everywhere she flooded with God. Before this, the concept is, this is only some preparation at most, some karma exhaustion, but God is elsewhere. So he is telling Savitri, what do you mean? That you can bring God into all this? No, no, no. That's not possible. And then he says, you don't know who I am. He's a big braggart. You know, death is like a man who keeps bragging about himself. And you know, when people brag, then if you get scared, that's their purpose. You don't know who I am. I am ministers. If you get, oh my God, then, or the gunda, the mafia, the local, if you respond with fear, then they take charge of you, control of you. Otherwise, if you don't have fear inside, then because they attack with fear. So now death is trying to bring fear into Savitri's heart. I have created all I devour. I am death and the dark, terrible mother of life. Life is born from me and I vanish, swallow it. So it says that I am the creator. I, death, have created all this. Why? For my food. I have brought this food. All of you are my food. One day I will eat you up. Where is God and what is God to do with all this? I am Kali, black and naked in the world. I am Maya and the universe is my cheat. He says, you talk about God, calm, quiet, peaceful, serene, blissful. No. If at all any God I acknowledge, Kali, Karali, the terrible. She destroys all things. Fine. But no other God. So you see that all these asuras, they do this. They either worship that form of Shiva or they worship this dark, terrible Kali. Because they want power. Power to destroy. And both of them are capable of destroying. Of course, they are divine beings. They don't act according to the asuras' wills, whims and fancies. But this is the God they worship. And it says, I am Maya and this universe is, I have created an illusion. I have given you a lens and through the lens you are seeing things as if they are real. We have nowadays in computer virtual. So with virtual, those glasses if you put, so what is it called? Virtual reality, no? So you will experience as if everything is true. I have experienced once a helicopter ride. In a small place, you sit in a helicopter, put the glasses. Then you trigger. And you get a feeling helicopter is taking you through the entire panorama, through the mountain, through all these places. In Sikkim, it will show you entire Sikkim, sitting on one place. And you feel you are taking a helicopter ride. Some places will give a bump also. But when you take out, you are at the same place. So he says, I have created this, I have cheated you. There is no reality. It's an illusion, like is in cinema. He says, you think it is reality? No. When the movie is over, tata, bye-bye. There was never any reality. So this is death's words. We should remember not to listen to this fellow. He is the obstacle in God's work. I lay waste human happiness with my breath and slay the will to live, the joy to be, that all may pass back into nothingness and only abide the eternal and absolute. So he uses words, he speaks truth, but half truth. So that's why this half truth, imitation of truth, they are so dangerous. Half truth is, you know, he's saying, yes, only abide the eternal and absolute. But he is saying all this is then meaningless. No. Eternal and absolute are also here in every atom of existence. This he will not tell. That is what Sri Aurobindo says in Savitri. The absolute, the perfect, the alone, the immune, our mask of imperfection has assumed. He has become all this world. That he will not tell. He will show us one side of the truth. See, somebody was very happy. And suddenly next moment with my breath I have finished. See, in Bangladesh, everywhere, all over the world. See, I am so powerful. We should never ever believe in death. Because ultimately, satyameva jayate. Whatever time it takes. And if we see through the yugas, we will see this. We should never believe. Even Second World War, Kansa, Ramayana. Ultimately, truth wins. This attitude we must always carry. Yes, temporarily, human happiness it destroys. But anyways, we are not seekers of human happiness. We are seekers of God's bliss. I lay waste human happiness with my breath and slay the will to live, the joy to be. So when people start feeling, I don't want to live, that means this mafia dawn of darkness is active. He will throw thoughts in the mind. Don't live. What is the use of living? So it will create that kind of suggestion in the mind. That's why the mother says all these suggestions of dying come from the hostile forces. And he says, I am actually giving you rest. I am taking you back to nothingness. For only the blank eternal can be true. Maybe there is God, but he is blank eternal. He has no relation with us. You may think he is mother, father, but that is not true. He is blank. Shivoham, Shivoham, Sachidanandoham. Do you think he will come and relate with us like a human relation? That the beauty of Krishna Leela and Mother's Leela, that they make us understand in practice that God can relate with us in many ways. Even Rama Leela, they come down, play with us, become our leader, provide a take care like a mother, father, become a friend, confidant, without ceasing to be divine. It's not that when mother is playing tennis, she is not divine that time. Only when she is in trance, she is divine. She is all the time divine. Even though she is coming at our level and playing. This is why Ram Leela, Krishna Leela and Sri Aurobind Leela is so important for mankind. Without these three, mainly, everybody thinks God is when you are in trance, meditation. Otherwise, it's human life. So here, but death tries to convince, or else is shadow and flash in mind's bright glass, mind, hollow mirror in which ignorance sees a splendid figure of its own false self and dreams it sees a glorious solid world. So if you tell death that, or darkness, no, I have seen God, I had a vision. He'll say, no, it's not vision. You want something beautiful, you believe there is something like that. So mind is projecting an image. You are seeing that image created by your own mind. And you are calling it God. See, this was the way people tried to rubbish spiritual experience. That this is hallucination. Obviously, they are always speaking half-truth. They don't know the full truth. They don't know the change that comes when you have that experience. They don't know that this experience doesn't come by thinking and trying to experience it. It comes as a spontaneous touch of the divine upon our life. O soul, inventor of man's thoughts and hopes, thyself the invention of the moment stream. Illusion's center or subtle apex point, at last know thyself from vain existences. He says, soul, actually you know, you don't exist. You are a dreamer who is dreaming things, beautiful things, and you call it God. But actually you yourself are a dream. Vanish in that state of nothingness, so all finishes, then you will have peace. See, very, what shall I say, cunning fellow. All kinds of arguments he gives. Now, I am not touching upon the anti-argument because that will come in great detail when Savitri replies to death. All these arguments, it will come again. But here, only the voice of death, and Savitri will respond by the truth of experience, because this is the voice which has come as voice of night, but this voice of night has to be chased by the voice of light. A shadow of the negating absolute, death is a shadow of God. That's why Ravana is the shadow of Vishnu. That's how Sri Aurobindo explains. That's why it's not easy to finish him. He is also very powerful. He is also very knowledgeable. He is using everything for his own perverted purposes. And he can die only if God takes a human birth. Vishnu takes a human birth because he is the shadow of Vishnu. So death is the shadow of the negating absolute. The intolerant darkness traveled surging past and ebbed in her the formidable voice. It said and went away. Now you see what will be Savitri's state. Who is this fellow? Who came? Fill these thoughts into my head. And they look so real. What shall I do now? It has come and said, all your experience of soul and Kundalini, Jagran, all this is false. All this is a dream like this dream. This matter is dream. This is also a dream. Now it is in that Savitri is left in that state. He is not here right now to argue. Later on he will come when Savitri will take the challenge. It left behind her inner world laid waste. A barren silence weighed upon her heart. Her kingdom of delight was there no more. So he is a thief, robber. That's how in the Vedas these voices of darkness are described. They are like robbers. If you allow them entry, they steal your peace, they steal your joy. That's why doubt should not be entertained. If you start entertaining doubt, then they start stealing all the joy, all the peace. And then you are left blank. So Savitri suddenly feels that she is left blank. As if everything was a waste. Her, that tapasya of so many months or days, suddenly it makes her appear, no. Or nothing. All this is meaningless. Satyavan will die. That is the truth. All these are your imaginations. Only her soul remained its emptied stage. All the beauty. Now, but there is a plan of God. See, that is the beauty. Suddenly Ram is, Sita Mata is taken away from Ram. And there is a very beautiful description in Ramayana that Ram is searching for Sita Mata. He is asking every leaf, where is Sita? Where is Sita? He is lamenting. Lakshman is lamenting. Oh, my mistake. Why did I go? So, Sati with Mahadev. Mahadev is smiling and saying, Sachidanand Brahm, Sachidanand Brahm. She says, what nonsense are you saying? He can't even save his own wife. And you are saying, Sachidanand Brahm. I think you have taken too much today of bhang. And Shiva says, my bhang will come down, but the bhang that you have taken, the delusion in which you are caught, that is very difficult to remove. Be careful, Sati, what you are thinking. She says, no, I will go and test. Shiva says, don't try that. But she goes, she tests. What does she do? She assumes the form of Mata Sita, hides behind the trees. That they are searching for Sita. They will see me and say, oh, okay, I found you. Then I will say, see, he is not God. So as she hides, the moment Ram sees, she has assumed the form of Mata Sita. Ram does pranam and says, Mate, what are you doing here? Right now I am suffering in vyog of my Janki. Now Mahadev will also start suffering in your vyog. All the time, the divine is there, but he is in front of the human play. He has to experience all that human experiences. So Savitri is experiencing everything that human beings experience. The mother and Shurabindu experienced everything that all of us experience. That is why there is hope. They know everything. So what is in that state? Awaiting the unknown eternal will. Now she does not know what to do again. So she is waiting with hope and faith. She knows that, well, all this is gone, but there is some greater work. Like when Sita is taken away, now the end of Ravan Raj starts from that moment. So it's part of the Leela. Then from the heights, a greater voice came down. So with Rama's life, we see that suddenly they enter into ashram of Agastya Rishi, looking for Sita. And Agastya Rishi, who is Shurabindo's own previous life, we may say so, he tells him, oh, it's all part of the plan. I must give you the celestial weapons. You will need all this. So this is how he has already cautioned him. Then from the heights, a greater voice came down. The word that touches the heart and finds the soul. Once again, the divine, that word with a capital W, the touch of the divine, the vibration of the divine, which suddenly enters her, touches her, and once again she receives the voice of light after the voice of night. The cry of the abyss drew heaven's reply, a might of storm chased by the might of the sun. So the storm that was suddenly created by death, whenever such events take place, we should not rush. We should learn to wait upon the divine will, then act under the divine will's impulsion. So Savitri waits, and then suddenly the voice of light comes to help her. Just few lines we'll read. So what does the voice of light tell her, O soul, bear not thy kingdom to the foe. Consent to hide thy royalty of bliss, lest time and fate find out its avenues and beat with thunderous knock upon thy gates. He says, why this happened? Because you opened up. Because she is generous hearted. He says, don't bear it, because this world is not ready to receive what you are here to give. Wait for some more time. See, Mother and Sri Aurobindo, for how many years they waited before they gave the yoga to man. Sri Aurobindo, even after coming here, 1910, till his personal sadhana siddhi is complete in 1926, people are coming, but he is not giving the yoga. He is sitting, conversing with them. Evening talks are there, but he is not accepting. There are no disciples, there is no ashram. Even Mother has come, because they are waiting for that right moment. Bear not thy kingdom to the foe. Right from beginning, they know Sri Aurobindo is experiencing the supramental transformation, the descent, and between him and Mother, the conversation is going on, but nobody knows. So, the voice of light says, consent to hide thy royalty of bliss. That this is your mission, this is the given to you, but hide it. Don't tell it to everybody who you are. See, again we take the Rama story. Ram hides. He could have straight away shown, see, you don't know I am Vishnu. But then the purpose will not be served. Kumbhakarna will fall at the feet, Meghnad will fall at the feet. Then he will forgive them, then they will go and do whatever they have to do. So he hides. Even Sita Mata hides. He doesn't know what is going on behind the scene. So even it may seem that divine is doing nothing, but behind the scene, so much is happening which we don't see. Hide whilst thou canst thy treasure of separate self. Behind the luminous rampart of thy depths, till of a vaster empire it grows part. He says that you must hide it here. You have to still take one more or two more steps before you can fight with death. What are those two steps? They will come in this canto and the next canto. That she will, she has had the soul discovery and kundalini. All these, both these she has found the self above. But the two more steps are that she must discover that utter transcendence, annulling completely all sense of separate self, separate ego self. And she will discover that she is in everything and everywhere. Then only she will be able to, because this is the program given to her completely. So the voice of light reminds her, your yoga is yet to be completed. Discovering the soul, discovering the self is not enough. You have to grow into the cosmic consciousness and discover yourself in each atom of existence. Then you will be able to conquer death and chase away darkness from the world. So all this Sri Aurobindo and the Mother have done, and that is why they could say with certitude that the hour of victory has come. It was not just based on some few inner experience. So we will read this next week also. We will meet 4 to 4:30. We will continue the voice of light.